Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorrian.
Hello.
Sitting right across from me.
Yes, sir.
I feel holier every minute that I'm sitting here.
I hear you.
And then, of course, I've got Ziggy, St. Ziggy Rodriguez.
No.
He's already... No. So, welcome. Glad you guys are here. And so we're going to kick off this show, spending just a couple of minutes talking about our first time ever I Give Catholic campaign. It's a great opportunity. If you like this show, if you listen to this show... And amazingly, I've had, I say amazingly because I just, I refuse to believe people listen to this. But anyway, so I get emails. Now I'm getting a lot more emails, and it's great to hear from folks. And there's just a lot of people that listen. So if you are listening and you do find value here, you really can help us because we don't have any financial support other than the support that comes from individuals like you. We don't have any corporate sponsors. We don't have any monetizing of this podcast or radio show. We don't get paid for the radio show. And I joke every once in a while that, that Tom and, Sam are, they're the price is right. Like, they're not getting paid. And some people wonder, like, well, man, that's kind of stingy. He's keeping all the money. Well, there is no money. I'm not getting paid either. So just to be clear. And all this to say, every dime that we raise goes into buying the microphones,
yeah,
buying the equipment, going on some of these adventures across America to record shows about American saints and saints-to-be. And so we have lots of stuff. We also want to we have this great ministry. We want it to expand. We want it to grow. And we certainly want to place it out on social media where people can get more visibility, where people can see it more and experience it. But also we want to go visual. We want to... create a video version of this show, which is requires equipment. It requires money, which none of us have. I shake these guys down every time they come in. I've got, so far, we've got $17.33 that Tom and Sam brought in.
I had
with
a piece
them.
Of hard candy in
yes,
my right pocket.
I've got that now, too. So. But the point is, this is an opportunity. I Give Catholic. It's the first time we've done this. We have a moderate goal of $50,000, and we're just trying to raise enough money to get some equipment. 100% of that goes to the Catholic Cafe's ministry specifically, not to stipends or salaries or any kind of pay for any of us. We will continue to do this for nothing because we love it.
But we love you.
That's exactly... Well, thank you. That's wow. So nice. I feel rewarded.
I mean,
at this point.
I was actually... talking to the people in Radio Land, but I do love you, Deacon Jeff,
very much. Oh, man, this is so nice. This is so nice.
I love everybody.
Yeah, yeah. That can be problematic.
I love you too, Tom.
All right, so dial it down. Dial it down. So I Give Catholic, you just go to the I Give Catholic site. So December 3rd is the day in 2024 for I Give Catholic. It's right after Thanksgiving time. And it is December, it's December 3rd, and it's the day in which all this happens. You go to I Give Catholic, and you search for The Catholic Cafe. You will find us there. Or you can just Google I Give Catholic and Memphis, and you'll find the Diocese of Memphis I Give Catholic page. And we're listed on the ministries of the Diocese of Memphis. And so that's an easy thing to remember, I Give Catholic and Memphis, or I Give Catholic, The Catholic Cafe. But then also you can, what's nice is you can start giving now, because the window of early giving has started. So it's actually open. You can go.
Early voting.
That's right, early voting.
Wow.
But this is like early support of the Catholic Cafe.
That's
so
nice.
I Give Catholic, or, you'll be able to give Catholic right now. You don't have to wait until December 3rd. You can help expand our ministry. So if you're listening, if you get a benefit, we're just asking you in a very nice way. We're not begging. I will beg if it's necessary, but we are just asking in the depth of the generosity of your heart, if you can find just a little space for us where you might be able to help pass this ministry on to others. If you've benefited, then helping others to hear it and then eventually see it will be an awesome thing. So anyway, I Give Catholic, The Catholic Cafe. I look forward to reporting back what happens on this particular venture.
Wait to hear.
So that said, we are coming to the end of the liturgical year. Mm-hmm. Now, that always seems, it's like the end of the road. Mm-hmm. That sounds bad after we're saying, expand the ministry, we're at the end of the road, you know? So as we all know, the liturgical year of the church renews every year, just kind of like we have an anniversary, you know, a birthday, whatever it is. And so the liturgical year just picks up on the first Sunday of Advent, and it moves all the way through Christmas, right? And then it moves through Easter, and then it goes through more ordinary time, and then it comes back to the end of the liturgical year. And a lot of people think like, tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day, to quote a little Shakespeare. Some people think this, the year is just, it's another trip around the sun, you know, and we just counting the days. And the reality is there's something beautiful about the liturgical year, and just paying attention to the liturgical year. Now, when you go to the stores, there's good indicators for the liturgical year, but they're not really good indicators for the liturgical year because, as we all know, like literally the day after Halloween, when they sell the candy, all of a sudden, it's Christmas. Everything is Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. You might see like a little, like a turkey napkin somewhere on a shelf, but really it's Christmas time. You know, the trees, the lights, the music starts. You go into the stores and you're hearing the music. Now, this is not going to be a show about, like, it's too early, don't talk about Christmas, because it's Advent. Don't skip the Advent season. And we agree with that here at the Catholic Cafe. But I think also one of the things, that I want to keep all this in perspective, that we do want to step into the Christmas season, and Advent is the perfect way to do that. But at the same time, I'm going to talk about the Advent of Advent. Mm-hmm. So the coming of Advent. And that's what Christ the King, the Solemnity of Christ the King, also in the formal title, the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, which I think is a more awesomer title. So this Solemnity of Christ the King is one where everything, like Advent, essentially leads to that. So the whole year leads to the Solemnity of Christ the King, and where we pronounce Jesus King of the Universe, right? And that's a powerful thing. And so the best way to prepare for Advent is to participate in Jesus Christ as, our Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Universe, recognizing his reign over our lives and his authority, his dominion, all of these things, to know that there is a king, and we don't have to be in England to experience it, right? Mm-hmm. There is a king that we all have in all of the universe, and that's Jesus Christ. And so recognizing that, I think, is a powerful thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I'd like to challenge, so to speak, I'm challenging myself as well, and all of us, is to zero in on the Eucharist here as we explore the relationship between the Feast of Christ the King and Advent, right? And the challenge is, well, let's make the Eucharist, our Eucharistic Lord, the King of our hearts, right? And so the one of the things about Advent, I mean, Christ comes to us in three ways, right? In history, in mystery, and in majesty, right? We're all waiting for Christmas, which is when Christ is the
infant. We celebrate that day in history.
Yes, that's a day in history where Christ had taken on flesh and was revealed to the world as an infant, right? And walked among us for 33 years. That's Christ in history, right? Christ in mystery. He comes to us in a lot of ways. And during Advent, we're going to have an Advent series that we'll talk about a little bit later of the ways in which God comes to us. But one of the biggest ways that God comes to us is in mystery, is the Most Holy Eucharist. I mean, he comes to us in all of the sacraments, and he comes to us in grace and in prayer generally, but there's
but also in the poor, the disenfranchised.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's lots of experiences of meeting Jesus along the way.
Yes.
But I want to arguably say the most powerful way and the most real,
yes,
and true way, to use some important words, is his presence in Eucharist.
Yes.
Right?
Well, the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith.
Yes.
So we have to sit up and pay attention to that. And, you know, we're going to be focusing on other things in Advent, which we'll explain a little bit later in terms of ways that God comes to us. And so we wanted to take this time in this episode to zero in on Christ, how he comes to us in the Eucharist, and linking that to Christ the King, right? Because here's the thing. We, a lot of times, we have some blindness towards the level of majesty of Christ coming to us in the Eucharist. We don't have the eyes to see the angels and the saints who are in the church with us bowing before him. I mean, this is a true moment of majesty. He, in his humility, he took on the simple form of ordinary nourishment as a sign of our love for us. But he truly is coming in majesty and in mystery in the Eucharist to step into our history, right? Our life history, as we are walking through history, to incarnate himself in us.
You know, there have been some neat, like little commercials or little videos I've seen before where, you know, thanks to the advent of technology, they've had some really neat ways to portray a mass where it seems like, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 people go into a daily mass somewhere, and it's like a quiet thing, and they kind of lumber into the pews.
And the angels around them.
And then all of a sudden, these angels start showing up, and all the saints, and even those that had gone before us, some of the ancestral history of some of those people, perhaps, are sitting with them in the pews, and all of a sudden, every single seat, every pew is filled to the brim with worship, right?
Yes.
Through the angels and the saints. And you suddenly see that when Jesus is present on the altar, everybody's there worshiping.
Yes.
Right? And it's a powerful way to look at that, because we don't often see we can't see that with the naked eye, right? We can't see that in our own humanity. And so we definitely see the humility, and we definitely see the like the plainness, the ordinariness of bread.
Yeah.
The commonness of bread. But we don't always see that majesty. So we have to remind ourselves
that's actually the King of the universe. That's the King of the universe who, by his love for us, he who is love has taken on this form of ordinary nourishment, the simple form, and has made himself he has given himself to us through a continuing act of humility and self-sacrifice, that we can receive him and be nourished by him directly, right? And so, in making the Eucharist the King of our hearts, what does that mean? It means let's let our Eucharistic Lord and King reign over us, reign over how we see, first of all, I think how we see God and how we understand God, the fact that God is coming to us, and this God who is majesty itself is coming to us in this simplicity and in this love. I think that that's an important thing for us to remind ourselves, that he's both of those things, right? But then also, I think how we see others and how we see ourselves, you know, if you allow the Eucharist, which is a, you know, God himself, the Trinity is a communion of persons, and by and through the Eucharist, he is drawing he's calling each of us into the fullness of that communion of persons. I mean, it begins at baptism, of course, all the sacraments matter, the baptism is that moment of the Holy Spirit himself is the spirit of the adoption of the children of God, but it is the Holy Spirit that descends upon the gifts at Mass, right, and brings about the transubstantiation of the host. And it's not just supposed to end with just us receiving him. We are receiving him in the context of a communion, a global communion of persons who are all receiving him. And God desires for all of humanity.
There's really no such thing as a as a local mass.
Yeah,
it's always a universal mass. Every mass connects to every other mass, which it's not like individual masses. While they are, in a mysterious way, they're connected literally to past, present, and future masses.
Yes.
And heaven itself.
There's one mass.
That's right. There's one mass that we're all connecting to.
And at the end of the day, every human person, every single one, including that guy who just cut me off in traffic, right? Like, every single person.
That was the priest, by the way.
But every single person.
He was late. He had to
But every single person is either actively a part of that communion of persons, that Eucharistic body, or is called to be. It's one of the two. And that needs to shape how we see one another. You know, Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to one another. Right? The Eucharist is a reminder that we belong to God, and by our belonging to God, we belong to one another.
Right. So let's go back a little bit to what you were talking about earlier, which is connected to all this, but essentially understanding Christ as King, right? And you used a few words like we need to let him reign over us,
yeah.
How we see ourselves, how we see others, etc. And so I like using that sort of kingly language because there's a difference. There's potentially a problem here for some folks because I know I've been tempted at times to sort of like, so looking at like an earthly royalty, right? An earthly royalty, maybe in a, some regal nation. I don't want to name names, but where there's a king, right? And so,
well, I didn't vote for you. Yes, sir, I thought we were an autonomous collective.
Anyway, we're not quoting Monty Python on the show.
Sorry.
So everyone can do the little. Remember the famous queen wave.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, I'm rocking my hand side to side
right.
for the queen wave, and now it's the king wave. I don't know what he does. I don't know what King Charles does.
I think it's a fist pump.
It may be. It is. I don't know. But the point is, you know, for them, I don't know. I think they may wrestle with the idea that they are reigned over. They'll say it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But the point is you kind of, your day is special if the king's motorcade drives by, like there's passes by, right? And you get the wave.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we're the loyal subjects, and there goes the king. He's just passed us. You know, and they I'm not saying that's bad. I am saying though that that's kind of like this sort of passing by of the king. This is different what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about that Jesus actually reigns over your life and it has a profound effect on your life. That it's not like a token kind of understanding of sovereignty so much as it is about a real surrender of yourself to his kingship. And it affects what you do with yourself, with your life, how you view yourself in your life, how you view others, and what you do with and to others in your life. It's very experiential, right? And if we have that sort of passing, if Jesus is just passing by on Sunday, mm-hmm. right? And there's not a connection because we are not his loyal subjects. We're not willingly his loyal subjects. We don't trust him as we would our king that's going to protect us and going to, you know, protect the nation and to make just laws and all these things. If we don't have that experience with Jesus, then it's a problematic relationship, right? It's like a passing by relationship. So this feast day, this solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, allows us the opportunity to, if not to just keep living, but to re-engage or rekindle that desire to be a loyal subject of Jesus Christ.
Well, I think a couple of things come to mind. One, you know, at baptism, we're baptized all into the office of priest, prophet, and king, right? What we're being, that's a sharing in his office out of his complete and utter generosity of priest, prophet, and king. We're baptized into that. And so as we embrace Christ the King more and more and allow Christ the King to incarnate himself in us through the Eucharist and through our willing giving of ourselves to him in the way that he gave himself to us. He, you know, the royal family of England, they didn't give themselves to the people of England in the way that Christ gave himself to his people on the cross.
Now, they right? might defend themselves a little bit.
Sure. Yeah,
we're not beating up on the royals.
No, no, but I mean, there's but
we
nobody.
All, we all watch it's, Downton Abbey.
But that's not specific to the royals. No one has, but no one has given it a complete and utter act of pure generosity and love that can we can say, oh, well, that's just as good as Christ's gift
at
Calvary.
I think you're exactly right, and it's and I think they would even recognize that and say our like my kingship, you know, on this earth is a reflection of that, or is in line with Jesus's kingship. I'm like a stepping stone to that. I'm not Jesus.
And King Charles doesn't walk around saying, like, hey, if you honor my kingship, I'm going to help make you a king. I'm going to help you embrace your kinghood. That's not how it works. There's that separation here. Whereas Christ, there's a kingliness that Christ desires to unleash in each of us, right? But we have to recognize at the end of the day, it comes, the most important thing here is surrender. You know, really giving ourselves to him and surrendering everything, and surrendering including our desire to be in control of stuff. A lot of times we're afraid of what's going to happen, and we want to be in control, and we want to be the one who gets things our way, because then that makes that stuff less scary. That's a failure, and when we do that, we're failing to trust in the goodness of God's permissive will. And because when God permits things to happen, we are called to trust, and it's a lot of times it's very hard to do this, to trust that there is some good, that he's permitting this, whatever bad thing that we're seeing happen in our lives, he's permitting it because there is a greater good that will come about eventually. And so I think also just surrendering control, seeking to trust in the goodness of his permissive will, and also allowing Christ the King to also color how we look at ourselves, you know, because precisely as he is calling us into this, he's desiring to incarnate himself within us. I struggled with self-image issues and self-esteem issues for a long time. And I remember one time when I was in Mass, I heard God say in my heart, do you think God ever wants you to see yourself apart from the Eucharist? And I would ask everybody in Radioland, all of us, to ask ourselves, do you think God wants you to see yourself apart from the Eucharist? We all have things that we don't like about ourselves. We all have things that we regret. Well, guess what? God wants to cover all of that. And God wants to, grace builds on nature. He wants to build on your nature and who you are and on your history to make you a saint.
That's why I think it's important for us to remember when we receive Jesus in Eucharist, right? When we go to Mass, we receive Jesus in Eucharist. We become walking, talking tabernacles.
Yes.
Right? We contain him, and there's a beautiful effect on us if we're in a state of grace, certainly. But when we allow him, when we surrender ourselves to him, we become like him, right? In the same way, maybe as a foretaste of what will be in heaven, when we will be like him, because we'll see him as he truly is, as John tells us. And so it's like this: allow yourself to be transformed in reception of the Eucharist. And this is the easiest, best, most profound way in which we can experience the King of the universe. And this is why I think this feast, this solemnity, which caps off the liturgical year, is really the best way to prepare for Advent. So we're preparing to prepare. We are the Advent of Advent is recognizing why we care about the Advent, mm-hmm. right? The Advent, that season, is about Jesus coming, right? And in those three different ways, right? In history, mystery, and majesty. But essentially, it's not just anybody. It's Jesus. And we have to recognize when we have Advent, it's not like just get ready for the Christmas season. It's time to break out the Christmas movies, the Christmas music, the Chex Mix, and whatever else. You can do that. You can step into Christmas that way. But Advent is really about understanding who it is that we welcome, who it is that's coming. And that's why This important feast of the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, is vital to us, because it's not about like just an important guy or a good guy or a nice guy or what. It's Jesus. It's the King of the universe.
And during the course of Advent, we're going to be talking about other ways that God comes to us, including beauty, goodness, truth, unity. These are ways that God comes to all of us, including even those who don't believe in God.
And ways we can discover God.
And the ways that we can discover God and help other people see God, even those who don't believe in him. But we don't want you to think that just because we're focusing on these other ways that God comes to us in mystery, that we don't want to also emphasize the source and summit of our faith, the primary way that God comes to us in mystery, the Most Holy Eucharist.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I want to go back to a phrase that I use all the time, and that is, you got to keep your eyes on the prize, right? You got to see the big picture in all of this. That we don't just You know, I heard it said, and I don't know if it's true. It may be, an old wives' tale or something. But the Golden Gate Bridge is so vast that when they built it, they had to paint it, certainly, and that they started on one end and they went across the bridge painting it, and by the time they got to the other end, it was time to start again to paint it. And it's kind of like you can see the liturgical year that way, but it can become you'd be in the doldrums of nothing but painting. I'm just painting. That's all I do. Well, that's not living, right? The liturgical year is to be lived, not just be like something you tolerate year after year after year. And so understand the big picture, the reason for the season. Understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, because this stuff is important. This person, Jesus Christ, is important. And should be to us and should reign over us. And so that's why when we see Jesus as king, then all the priorities, everything is stacked properly. We have the proper hierarchy in our life so that we can now live life in a way, even when we fail, even when we struggle, even when we have issues, we can live a life as a loyal subject of the king, where we beg and plead for forgiveness and for mercy, and he gives it to us willingly, in his total self-gift of himself on the cross, and then that reception of his total self in Eucharist. And we realize this is what sustains us, right? This is why this is so important. This is why, the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, is so important to us. It's why we do everything that we do. So let's have the advent of our advent. Let's prepare in a way that's profound and helps us to see Jesus as Christ the King. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.